Lord. Thank you, Katie, for that song. Whew, I'm getting fired up already, amen. Ready to have some preaching? I don't know if I have anything for you this morning. It's the first time I've done it in 2 weeks, so I just came up not prepared at all. Just kidding. Oh, I love Loomis Park Baptist Church. Let me say it one more time, because you don't sound that excited about it. I love Loomis Park Baptist Church.
Amen.
Amen. I love you folks. Jared, I love you, brother. Good to see you this morning, man. Love you folks. So privileged to be here at this church. Man, Katie got me all fired up now. I can't stop choking up and crying. I love you folks so much. I appreciate y'all being here. Thank you for your help while Pastor's been gone. You know, this is really the longest he's been gone for me. And I joke with him. I said, Preacher, I said, you know, when I leave for vacation or whatever, I said, you don't have to do any youth pastor stuff. I said, but when you leave, I got to do all the pastor stuff, man. And but I love it, man. This has been so great. It's been such a blessing to be able to preach Sunday morning. What opportunity has been, even to participate in all the funeral arrangements and really being able to be there with the family. I've never really been able to do that, Brother Ian. You know, usually pastors there with the family when things like that happen. He knew he couldn't be here, and they asked me to come, and I was really nervous. I'll be straight. I called my wife up. I said, I'm nervous. I'm driving over there at 9:30 at night, probably with this dear lady. I said, I don't know what to say or do. And thank God he gives us what to say. He gives us what not to say. And, man, it's been a blessing. I mean, I miss Preacher, believe me. I want him to come back. But the Lord's, I've learned some things. And it's great. Maybe the Lord will have me pastor one day. Very, very far down the road. I think I'll try to be youth pastor for at least 40 years, maybe 50, if we're lucky. So, I'll be teaching Lincoln's kids maybe one day. How's that sound? And maybe they'll be just as sweet and kind as he is. Amen, amen. Well, here's the thing. Here's the truth of the matter, folks. We're all different. Amen? Aren't you glad we're different? Aren't you glad that you're not like me? Aren't you glad that you don't look like me, right? Some of you are like, I wish I looked like you, man. I've been trying to get to that size for 20 years, maybe. Listen, I've been trying to get out of this size for 10 years, so believe me. Here's the thing, we're all different, but at the same time, we're the same. We may be different, but we're the same. We all have at least one thing in common. You know what that is? It's not our hair color, it's not our height, our weight, it's not that. Listen, listen, buddy, listen. This is my Dayton, stand up real quick. How many of you have missed seeing Dayton? Stand up, buddy. This is my buddy Dayton. Everybody say hi, Dayton. Dayton is my best buddy. He's in our youth group. He is the one, okay, that during all my messages that I preach, whether it's up here, I didn't think he'd do it up here, even downstairs, I'll be preaching, and he'll just, like, answer my rhetorical questions. Kind of like Brother Merrill does sometimes, right? So one day, brother, look over there. You'll be just like him one day. How's that sound?
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky, right? Now hush your mouth. Oh, I love that kid. Listen, we all have at least one thing in common. You know what that is? Our lives are not perfect. Our lives are not perfect. So I'm not saying they're bad, but they're not perfect. We're not perfect. Our lives are not perfect. No one's perfect. We may be different in many ways, in most ways, but one thing that we all have in common is that we are not. Our lives are not perfect. We all have our set of problems. I'm not talking about sin problems. Yes, it can be sin, but I'm talking about trials, difficulties. I did 3 prayer chains yesterday. 3 in one day, probably getting sick and tired of getting those phone calls. But listen, I had folks calling me with problems, with things that were important to them, that they were nervous or scared or fearful or needed prayer for. Listen, we all have problems. That is one thing that we can say we all have in common. Maybe you say, well, everything's good right now. Maybe you're not going through one now. Maybe you just went through a problem, but maybe you're getting ready to go through one. Who knows? But the truth of the matter is, folks, we all have problems. Could be anything. Maybe you think about it right now. Why don't you think about it right now? In your life right now, what could it be? Is it bills? Listen, I hate bills. I hate bills so much that even sometimes when I'm talking to Brother Bill or Brother Bill, I'm frustrated. Listen, I hate bills. Listen, I don't even have that many. Some of you, you got your own businesses, and listen, the stress of that can really overtake us sometimes. Those can be serious problems. Say, well, I'm just going to trust the Lord. And yes, we do trust the Lord, but that doesn't take away from the fact that sometimes, listen, it's tough to get things paid for. Sometimes. You're in a tight spot. I think of Brother Rob, just mentioned last week, he's blown out of job. Listen, they got bills they got to pay. Listen, it can get stressful. That's a problem we can have. Maybe it's a problem with your family. Maybe your kids are away from the Lord, and it's just that is a problem that is in your life right now. You're worried about your kids. You're worried about your grandkids. You say, man, I wish they would just get right with God and get into church and start making the right decisions. Listen, that can be a problem for some of us. Family, maybe it's our parents, teenagers, we pray for. Man, we want them to be close to God. We want them to stop doing this or start doing this or whatever it may be. Whatever it is, listen, teenager, it could be our parents sometimes. We're worried about them. We love them. We want them to have happy, successful lives and be involved in the work of God. And sometimes our teenagers are more involved than their parents. And listen, I think that a teenager would want his parents to serve the Lord too. Amen. Yes, they would. Maybe that's a problem for you guys. Maybe it's your past. Some things that happened in your past, maybe in your control, maybe out of your control. And that just kind of haunts you. Something happened in your past. It's a problem. Maybe it's the unsurety of the future, the unknown. You say, man, I don't know what's going to happen. Me and Brother Ian prayed for a good friend of ours this morning before service started. Some friends of ours that have been trying to adopt for many years. And they finally, there's a baby that they might be able to adopt, but there's a 24-hour window where the mom can decide to keep the baby. And we're right now in that 24-hour window, correct, brother? Listen, that can be something that's heavy on the heart. What if the mom does say she wants her baby? Listen, that's a problem in their life. The unsurety of the future. Kids, parents, I mentioned, got teenagers in your school. I mean, your grades. Where are you going to go to school? What are you going to do with your life? Relationships in your life can sometimes be strained or hindered or something going on, and that can be a problem. Maybe physically. You have some physical health difficulties. That's a problem. Maybe dads, moms, our home. Just we want our home to reflect Christ, and that's just something that we're having a hard time with. Whatever it may be, on and on I could go. We all have our own set of problems. I want you to think of it today. I want you right now as you sit there, as we go through this message, and we'll be done soon, I want you to think of something in your life. Maybe you say, man, I'm really, things are great right now for me. Then think of somebody else in your life that is going through some problem that's important to them, that they're struggling with, whatever it may be. And I want you to think of that problem. Keep it in your head as we go through this message, as we go through this passage. Like I said, we're all different, but the thing that we have in common is that we all have our problems. They're all different. I bet if I went around the room and you said, you know what, I'll tell you what my problem is, that they'd all be different. We probably wouldn't have the same problems at all. Everybody's problems are different. But all those problems have the same answer, I believe. And I believe it's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Let's look there. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. There's a man in the Bible here that had a problem. Look at verse 1, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, look at this, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat the king, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazan Tamar, which is in Gedi. Listen, King Jehoshaphat had a big problem. Yes, let's say Pastor Donald says, you know what, I'm having a hard time paying this bill. Not as bad as everybody's coming to kill us. That's what King Jehoshaphat was facing. We got lots of people that are coming here to destroy us. It's a pretty good sized problem. Kind of makes my problems feel not that big, actually. Unless you guys are all plotting to take care of me today. I don't think that's the truth. I hope not. Because I got a good lunch following the service, so I want to eat it. But King Jehoshaphat had a big problem, a big deal. Now let's keep reading and see what he does. Does he cry? Does he whine? Does he run away? Verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared. Can I listen? Can I stop right here? Some of you got problems right now that you're thinking about. Listen, I understand some things may not, but there are some things that I bet you're facing. Maybe it's your past, maybe it's the future, that they are kind of scary. Right? Amen? Some of you, I have no doubt. Maybe it's health. Say, man, I keep getting these bad doctor's reports. That's a scary thing. Listen, I know you trust the Lord, but listen, Jehoshaphat feared. Listen, if I had a bunch of people coming to get me too, I'd be a little scared. He feared. Listen, you may be here this morning scared about your problem, worried about your problem. Listen, I'm not judging you for that. I understand what you're saying. But look what else he did. He didn't just sit there scared and do nothing. No, and Jehoshaphat feared. Look what it says. And he set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So, listen, as a king, this is great. As a king, yes, not only did he himself set himself to seek the Lord, but he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. In verse 4, and Judah gathered himself together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Keep reading, verse 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. Listen, and he prayed. Verses 6 down to verse 12, Jehoshaphat prays. We read his prayer. He talks to the Lord. He says in throughout verse 7, and he kind of reminds God of what he did. He says, Lord, you helped our fathers. Lord, you brought us to this land. Lord, you did this for us. Lord, please. And now they're coming to get us. Lord, Lord. And he's explaining what's going on to the Lord. And he's telling, he said, listen, all throughout the verses 7, all the way through verse 11. And look at verse 12, okay? And this is where we start our four steps. What to do in the midst of a problem, okay? Step number one, look at verse 12. Okay, and remember, think of your problem right now. Verse 12, end of Jehoshaphat's prayer. It says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Look at this. Neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. Number one, what do we do with our problem? What do we do in the midst of our problem? Number one, realize that we don't know what to do. Realize that we don't know what to do. Go to Isaiah chapter 55. Quickly, quickly. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. You may know this verse. Isaiah 55 verse 9 says this. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Listen, number one, just like Jehoshaphat said, he said, Lord, we can't do this by ourselves. Said, Lord, we don't have the power to defeat this enemy. Neither know we what to do. Said, Lord, we don't know what to do. So many times in my life when I've had my minor problems, again, I'm going to say that a lot today because I know that any problem that I've had, it comes nothing compared to some of the things that you folks have been through. But even the little problems in my life that I've had that have been important to me at the time being, many times, you know what I try to do? I try to figure it out myself. I try to take care of my own problems. Listen, sometimes I think I can do it. And listen, yes, sometimes I say, well, I can take care of it. But listen, the only way any problem in my life has gotten taken care of is because I obey what the Bible said. Anytime I try to fix it myself, it just makes it worse. And the same goes for all of us. Listen, whatever the problem may be, if you keep trying to do it by yourself, in your power, in your intelligence, I promise it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And maybe it'll be fixed for a short season. But listen, it's going to come back tenfold. Listen, we've got to realize that we don't know what to do. It's humility. When we think that we have all the answers to all of our problems, that, my friends, is P-R-I-D-E, pride. That's what it is. Pride. And I have struggled with that in problems in my life, little problems that I've had, thinking that I don't really need it. I can figure this out. I can fix the problem. And the second we think that we know, we're on the road to failure. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I don't want to be guilty of that. No, no. I have to remember in my problems, number one, to realize that I don't know what to do. Listen, you may be saying this morning, you know, maybe you're thinking, you know, I don't know how I'm going to pay these bills. These bills just keep piling up, medical bills, mortgage payments, whatever it may be. They keep piling and piling. I have no idea how I'm going to pay them. I don't know how I'm going to get my kids to get right with God. I don't know. I prayed for them. I've talked to them, and they just don't seem to care. I don't know how I'm going to get my kids to come back to the Lord. Listen, teenagers say, you know what? I don't know what to do for my parents to get right with God. I can't tell them what to do. I can't preach to them. I can't do that. That's disrespectful. I don't know. I don't know what God wants me to do with my life. Maybe that's you, teen. I don't know what the future holds for me. Hey, maybe adult, you say that. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know. And it worries me and it stresses me out. I don't know how to get over this sin problem. I don't know how to get away from my past. It just keeps coming back, coming back. Listen, you say, I don't know. And can I tell you something? God does know. We may not know, and we don't. But God does know. God knows the answer to your problem. Have you ever done something that you thought you knew how to do, and then you realize at the end that you didn't know how to do it? Anybody? Just me? Thanks, buddy. Thanks for having me. I was a young boy. Younger boy. Okay, so you're young still. Listen, I'm almost 26, so give me a break. I'm talking about when I was a younger boy, okay? I'm a man, okay? When I was a boy, I was like 7 or 8 years old. My dad had a boat, and we loved to go fishing, water skiing, that kind of stuff. Anybody ever water ski? Anybody ever slalom ski? Yeah. No, I never could get up on slalom. Don't talk in church. Okay? Yeah, it was a rhetorical question. Listen, but we were getting ready to go on the boat, and my dad said, Donald, Johnny, my older brother Johnny, said, why don't you go up and just, you know, hook the boat up to the truck, and then we'll leave. So, you know, my brother's a little bit older than me. I might have been older. I'm trying to say younger so that when you hear the end of the story, you say, oh, he was just a little kid. I might have been 13. So we go out, and we get the truck. My dad had backed the truck up. We got the hitch. We put it on there. And, you know, we had one of the trailers that you got to wind up, and then the boat raises, and then we wind it back down, and it hooks onto the hitch. And I was looking at it, and I blame my brother. So, you know this, man. Blame your brother, right? Always blame your brother. And the hitch just didn't look right. You know? Just didn't look right. It was, you know, here's the hitch or the ball, and then the top comes over, and it usually just kind of goes all the way down, but it was like kind of halfway. Like you could still kind of see. I said, you know, I don't think, you know, I'm no professional, but I just don't think that looks right. And maybe I'm wrong. So my dad said, Dad, why don't you come out and check it out, Dad? So I couldn't blame my father. My dad comes out and says, okay, yeah. And he kind of lifts up on it. Nothing's going on. And listen, my dad's a smart man. Okay. He's had trucks his whole life. But he kind of just was like, okay. So we get in the car and my dad gets in the truck with my little sister, Johnny, and my brother was driving at the time. So I couldn't have been 7 or 8. I probably was like 14. so we're following in the car. We get right up the road, and my dad's got his truck, beautiful truck. It's like an F-350 turbo, had the dump body. I mean, it was sweet, loud, diesel. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, so he's going, but we're behind him. And my dad stops at a red light. And when he stopped, the boat trailer didn't. And it came off the hitch, went right into the back of his truck, the tailgate, and then kind of fell to the ground, you know, air, that kind. And then, you know, the chains are hooked up. You got the chains. So thankfully the chains were there. So, you know, the light turns green and he's just dragging his boat off to the side of the road. And I said, Johnny, get to the highway. You know, I got $17 in my pocket. That'll at least get us to, you know, New York and we'll be fine. And then we'll go underground and we'll be fine. You know, we'll be all right. I mean, I'm like, dude, do we get out of the car? I don't think we do. You know, he may just push us into traffic or something, you know. And we dented that so bad, the back of his truck. I mean, scratched up the front of the boat. I mean, it was just it was a bad day on the lake. It really was. But listen, I thought I knew what I was doing. I did. I was like, well, I think it's all right. And in the end, I realized I didn't do it right at all. And you know what? We do the same thing with our problems, folks. We say, yeah, this isn't that, you know, this isn't that hard to figure out. I can just work some more hours at work, and that'll get my bills paid. And yes, you know, sometimes the Lord gives us those extra overtime. But listen, sometimes it's more than that. Sometimes we're not giving to the Lord, and that's why we're having so many money problems. We're not tithing. So our money problems aren't going to just stop. We try to figure out, I'll just work double shift so then I can pay my bills off. And we can, listen, we got to stop thinking we know all the answers, and we got to, number one, just like the king did, and he admitted it in front of all the people, said, listen, neither know we what to do. We don't know. Listen, we've got, like Drake preached last week, he must increase and I must decrease. He must increase and I must decrease. That is the answer right there. Number one, realize that we don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. You got your problem in your mind. Number one, whatever that problem is in your life that you're thinking about, number one, realize, I don't know what to do. Number two, what else? Look at verse 12, end of verse 12. Let's just read verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. And look at what it says. But our eyes are upon thee. In verse 13, I love it. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Number two, what do we do after we realize we don't know what to do? Number one, number two, look to God. It's a really simple message. Look to God. I can just picture this story. I love this story. One of my favorite in the whole Bible. I can just picture the king's praying, and whether he's up high, I don't know how it was built back then, but he's the king. He's probably up a little bit higher, and he's praying to the Lord. He says, Lord, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And it says, all the people of Judah with their wives and with their kids, they stood there and they looked to the Lord for answers. Would to God that families in Loomis Park Baptist Church and families all over America would stop trying to figure out their own problems, would stop trying to have all the answers, and stop and grab their wives and grab their kids and look to God. Look to God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's got the answers. Listen, when everything seems wrong in your life, we need to look to God. When things are okay and they seem okay, we need to look to God. In your problem, you need to look to God. Whether it's bills, parents, kids, family, sin, whatever it may be, you need to look to God. You will never look to God until you realize that you don't know what to do, though. It's a step-by-step thing. If you think you have the answers, then why would you look to God? Because you don't really need to. Realize you don't know what to do, and then look to God. It might get worse, folks. You're not looking to God now with that problem. It may get harder. Why not look to Him now before it does get harder? Trust Him now. Look to God, just like these people did in this passage. I think of the song that our teen girls sang at the youth conference this year. It's a beautiful song. The second verse says, when I'm walking through a valley, and we have our valleys that we're talking about today, and I feel there's no way out. When the winds of sorrow threaten me, and they turn my world about, that's when I look to Jesus and the price He paid for me. I can lift my hands in praise to Him and shout the victory. Listen, we need to look to Him. We need to look to Him. We need to trust Him. Proverbs 3, you know the verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. That's point number one. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Okay? In all thy ways, in our problems, in our successes, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy paths. He shall direct thy paths. Now He might. Hopefully, no. He shall direct thy paths. I told the story many times, and there's more to it, but the story when I was at Bible college, and I didn't have the money to pay my bills, and that wasn't because I had a bunch of bills, because I was being done with my money, and I had gotten behind in my school payments, and I said, Lord, I know I messed up. I was not a good steward with the money that You gave me through my good job. I owe $1,500 by Monday, where I got to go home. From California, the master said, Lord, and I remember sitting up almost all night just praying, saying, Lord, forgive me, first of all, for being stupid with my money, but Lord, please, You've got to help me. I don't want to go home. I don't need to go home. Lord, please, please provide. And it was that Sunday afternoon, a staff member at the college, a friend of mine, one of the staff members, texted me. He must have known through seeing the financial stuff. I didn't tell him, but he said, listen, how much money do you need? I said, well, He said it was $1,500. I think I owed like $14,050, something like that. It was like close to $15,000. He said, is $1,500 enough? I said, and he wrote me a check and gave it to me. And listen, you would say, well, he probably looked in the record or maybe someone told him. I don't care what happened. All I know is I prayed and God answered. I could care less how it happened. I prayed and God answered. Listen, I wish I could say that every time I face situations like that, I've looked to God first and said, Lord, but I haven't. Yes, that's an instance when I did and God answered. But listen, it just proves to me that, listen, you need to look to Him in your problem. Look to God. Realize we don't know what to do and then look to God. Let's keep reading. Verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, this is 2 Chronicles 20, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, all the names, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Now God's talking. Verse 15. Here's number 3. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Look at this passage and this line and underline it. For the battle is not yours, but God's. It doesn't get much simpler than that. You say, well, I don't like the King James Version because I can't understand it. How can you not understand that? For the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Praise the Lord. Number 3, what do we do in the midst of a problem? Number 1 is realize we don't know what to do. Number 2, look to God. Number 3, remember it's God's battle. Woo! Remember, it's God's fight. It's God's battle. It's not our own, it's His. And He'll take care of it in His time. Look at verse 7, look at verse 16. The end of verse 15 says, for the battle is not yours, but God. Verse 16, tomorrow go ye down against Him. That word tomorrow, you know what that word tomorrow shows me? It shows me that there was a time for the answer. God had a, He didn't say, listen, right now, He said, no, tomorrow. And told them what to do. Listen, for every problem that we're thinking about that's in this room today, there is a tomorrow. There is a tomorrow. There is a time where God wants to answer your problem and figure out your problem. Because it's not yours. Remember that. I hope you realize that. Hope today maybe some of us will come up and take that problem and lay it right here on the altar. God, I'm sorry that I've forgotten that problem is yours. It's not mine. You want to fight for me. It's God's battle. And He'll take care of it in His time. Weeping, yes, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Yes, it does. Listen, that problem, think of that problem that we talked about. What's that problem in your head? Think about it and remember that it's His. When we try to fight our own battles, we'll always end in defeat. Battered and bruised and dead. When we try to fight our own battles, try to figure out by ourselves, listen, we're going to end in defeat. David didn't do that. David trusted in the Lord and he defeated Goliath. Oh, remember that it's His battle. Keep looking. Verse 17. I love this line. The first part of verse 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. That's awesome. You don't even need to fight in it. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go against them, for the Lord will be with you. Remember, it's God's battle. It's God's problem. Hey, can I say this? Your kids are away from God. Listen, you pray for them, but give it to the Lord. Listen, I got 3 little ones. I don't know what it's like. My son, Donald, is not away from God right now. You know, so I don't know that feeling. I'm not going to pretend I do. It must really stink. It must be horrible. I can try to imagine it, you know, 15 years down the road, 20 years down the road, if my son just walked away from God totally, yeah, it would break my heart, man. Break my heart. But I would hope that I would be able to give it to God. I hope that I'd be able to say, Lord, this is, I just can't even bear it. Lord, I can't do anything else. This is your battle. Please, Lord, fight. Please fight, God. Fight against the devil. Please, God. On and on we go with our problems, folks, our physical problems, whatever it may be. Remember that it is God's battle. Oh, it's His. Realize we don't know what to do. Look to God. Remember that it's His battle. And lastly, let's look at some more verses. Let's read verse 17. 2 Chronicles 20. We'll read verse 17 again. And keep reading. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. In verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Verse 19. The Levites, the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites, stood up to the praise of the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe His prophets, so shall ye prosper. Verse 21, look at this, this is crazy. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of His holiness as they went out before the army and to say, Praise the Lord. Okay, look at that line. Went out before the army and to say, Praise the Lord for His mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. You don't know what smitten means? It means they were killed. Taken care of. Gone. See you later, problem. What'd they do? Number four. What do we do in our problems? We praise Him no matter what. We praise Him no matter what. They didn't get a whole bunch of archers and swordsmen. Listen, He appointed singers to go before the army. And they said, Praise the Lord. And God gave them the victory while they praised His name and the beauty of His holiness. Number four, in the midst of our problems, after we realize we don't know what to do, and when we look to God, when we remember it's His battle, number four, what do? We praise Him no matter what happens. If it's a good outcome that we think is good, then praise Him, obviously. But if it doesn't go exactly the way we want it, praise Him anyway. If it's taking longer than we wanted for this problem to go away, then praise Him anyway. Acts chapter 16, we know the story of Paul and Silas in prison. What did they do? Did they whine, complain? No! They sang praises unto God, and God gave them freedom. And God had the earthquake come, and their chains were broken, and they were free. Listen, praise Him no matter what. I've got so much to thank Him for. So much to praise Him for, you see. He's been so good to me. And when I think of what He's done and where He's brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. Oh, folks, we do. We do have so much to thank Him for. We could go on and on. Salvation. You're saved. You're part of the family of God. You don't have to spend a moment in hell if you accepted Christ as your Savior. Listen. We have so much to be thankful for. You know, I heard a preacher once say, and listen, I believe this is the truth, but I haven't really looked it up yet, but I've heard that the commandment to praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, is the most spoken commandment in the whole Bible. Like it tells us to praise the Lord more than anything else. I wouldn't doubt it because most of the Psalms says, praise ye the Lord. That is the most spoken commanded thing for us to do as Christians is praise the Lord. Folks, God's been good to us. Even in the midst of our problems, God has been so good to us. I love to sing that song, God's Been Good. I'm telling you, I've known that song for, you know, several years. And I don't get sick of it. You know what I mean? Some songs you hear, like, okay, I got to stop listening. That is one song I could listen to over and over and press repeat and press and on and on and on. That song is so true. God's been good to us. He loves us. He's given us so much. Yes, there are problems that you're facing today. And listen, I'm not trying to belittle those things at all. There are problems that you're facing today. Problems that you're facing. Problems that you're facing. All around the whole room in the back. There's problems that we're facing. Difficulties, whatever it may be, you know what it is. I don't know. I know what I go through. I know my set of problems. But whatever that problem is, folks, could we just learn from King Jehoshaphat, from the Word of God, realize that we don't know what to do, and look to God? I don't mean just, it's easy to say, well, I'm going to look to God. I mean really look to God. I don't mean just come to church one more service a week. I mean really look to God. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. You look to God. You get in His Word. You get in prayer. And then you remember that it's His battle. Listen, we need to remind ourselves of that sometimes. I don't think that I would get so stressed out about my problems if I just said, you know what? Oh yeah, it's God's battle. Maybe that's what we need to do today, some of us, is we're getting so stressed about problems that are important things. Not just little stuff that we shouldn't worry about. Stuff that's important. Kids, parents, bills. Yes, those are important things. But we need to stop and say, you know what, Lord, this is your battle. This is your battle. You told me, you said, that I don't need to fight this. It's your battle. Lord, please. I'm going to look to you. And I'm going to praise you no matter what. Maybe that's the decision that needs to be made this morning. Just to trust God. Let go of your problem and let God deal with it. Let go and let God. Realize we don't know what to do. Look to God. Remember it's His battle. And praise Him no matter what. Why? Because everybody has a problem that only God can solve. Everybody has a problem that only God can solve. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around.